Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Free Nintendo. This is number 430. I'm your host, Jonathan Metz, and with me as always are Guillaume Veillette.
That would be me.
James Jones.
Am I my own guest today?
And kind of. And John Lindemann.
You're not my guest.
Well, that's for sure.
I can confirm that.
Yeah. John actually kicked me out. That was my absence was I was going to be hanging out with John, and John didn't know about it. And he did not approve, apparently.
Yeah. Well, so last week we mentioned that James was going to be missing the next couple of episodes, and he would have been, except we are recording this episode so early this week that James actually hasn't left yet for his trip. So it worked out nicely, although that wasn't the only reason that we had to do this early. But anyway, it's only been a few days since our last episode was recorded. We don't have a ton of new business because we just haven't had that much time to keep playing games. But we did get the Splatoon test fire over the weekend, and we're going to be talking about that in a minute. And also coming up later, we're going to try to squeeze in, this will be a short episode, but we'll try to squeeze in a few quick emails in a mini thunder round coming up later in this episode. But first, we all played, all four of us played the Splatoon test fires over the weekend, at least one of them. And a lot of people have actually been tweeting at us and emailing to ask, you know, what we thought of it and wanted to kind of follow up on the discussion from last week. So now that we've actually had a chance to play it, some of us for the first time, some of us, you know, this updated version, a lot more weapons and stages. What did you guys think of it? I mean, this is much more like what Splatoon should be like as a consumer product, you know.
I like to hear from those two since, I mean, you and I have played it before. It still played much the same as the game that we played a year ago.
I agree. It didn't seem radically different than.
No. I mean, mechanically, yeah, it felt. I mean, granted, there's a year of haziness there, but I mean, I couldn't tell the difference. So, except for the new stuff, obviously.
Yeah. For me, the biggest difference was just that I was, you know, playing it alone on my couch,
right,
against mostly strangers, I think all strangers for me, rather than standing next to someone in a crowded, noisy, you know, E3 booth and putting on a big pair of headphones, and we can still look at each other and talk to each other and
tired.
Standing on this kind of, you know, squishy carpet, and our feet hurt really bad and our bags feel like they weigh 1,000 pounds, and we put them down and we play this really cool game. It's bright and colorful and it's exciting, and we, you know, we're talking about it, we're shouting at each other. That's a very completely different experience than sitting on your couch at home and playing over the internet with, you know, with no communication. So that's really the only difference to me.
Yeah.
Like, the game feels the same. I felt like I was doing the same things. So basically, for all of you who just played it for the first time, know that that's basically what our opinions of Splatoon have been based on for the past year.
Yep.
It really hasn't changed that much, at least in the broad strokes. So anyway.
Interesting.
So yes, for the newbies, I would love to hear what you guys thought of it.
Yeah, well, I only played the first of the three test hours, so that was at night for me, and I tried logging in, and immediately I get a message that there's no more slots, basically,
yep,
on the server, and immediately, in a rage, I tweet "eat shit, Nintendo."
Good job.
But then I calm down, I try again.
Way
a couple
to be
of
adult.
Times.
Just like a, yeah. Just like a shooter fan.
Yep. And so I'm the reason why there's no voice chat.
Yeah. Babies.
But eventually I got in, and yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like, it was kind of a limited demo, I think. How many stages were there? Only two?
Two.
Yeah, and there were four.
Well, that's
loadouts
like half the game.
Yeah, there's only four in the game.
Well, maybe, but also there were like four loadouts that you could have, and you couldn't customize them like you will be able to in the final game. So,
mm-hmm.
And also it was only the Turf Wars mode, which is just cover as much of the ground as possible with ink of your team's color. And like it was good for what it is. But today I watched the direct that they had all about Splatoon, and I saw the other modes, and I'm really salivating for that. I want to try some of those because
what are the other modes?
Fun. You should really watch it because
yeah,
maybe skip the first half because it's all stuff that you already know, and dad humor. And the second part has a little bit less dead humor, although there's still some. But they show, like, it's almost information overload. One of the modes that caught my eye is this kind of this one where you try to control a tower. And on this tower, you're really exposed. And once you claim it, it starts moving into the enemy's territory. And if it reaches the destination, then you win. But of course, you're very exposed and everyone is trying to snipe at you. So, okay. And then claim the tower for themselves. So that looked pretty cool. But there's also like kind of more traditional, modes where, basically you have to control a certain piece of ground on the field. And, the longer that you maintain control of that area, the more points you get. Like we've seen that in other FPSs, but here it's, you know, it's with the Splatoon spin of, trying to cover the ground with ink. And yeah, stuff like that. And they showed so many kind of online events that you can compete in to try to get experience points and all the stuff that you need to be able to upgrade your character. So I'm looking forward to that. And John, I know that, you know, I've seen you on Twitter like asking like, oh, is this game going to have legs? Is it going to have longevity? Because sure, the demo was fun, but is there more to it? And I think the direct answer is that questions. There's basically everything that you could possibly find in other first-person shooters. So,
well, I don't know.
No.
It's not a first-person shooter.
It depends.
But,
well, it depends. Right. I don't know. It depends on scope, I guess. I mean, first-person shooters these days. Mm-hmm. They have a ton of different modes, tons of, and this is kind of what I was getting at on Twitter is, you know, like you play something like I just started playing, just funnily enough, as I was waiting to get on with Splatoon, I was waiting for that to start up. I decided to finally play Advanced Warfare online and it's actually really good, but it's just, you know, there's a ton of stuff. There's a ton of like different game modes, but then also within that, there's, you know, all these, you know, you can equip your character tons of different ways, tons of different guns. On those guns, you have attachments, yep. This, that, the other, right?
Well, that's Splatoon, exactly what I just said.
Splatoon is going to have that, but I'm just questioning how far they're really going to go with it. I'm skeptical. I'm very skeptical of that because there's kind of implementing some version of that and doing that in actually a way that really gives the game a long tail and a lot of depth and doing it in just kind of like a sort of surface kind of way where, you know, you top out your character very quickly. So, you know.
Maybe, but maybe not. I mean, there's all sorts of gear that you can get where, you know, you can change your base abilities, like your speed or things like that. So you can upgrade your character and you can get more slots to equip more items to get more of those special abilities or to improve your statistics. Mm-hmm. And they also show that you can improve the weapons so that, you know, like your grenades are going to have a bigger blast radius or things like that.
Mm-hmm. What are you spending to do all this? Is it just some experience?
There seems to be many different types of currencies. So I'm not sure. I think it's different currency for the weapons or for the character upgrades. And definitely some of that currency is tied to participating in online events, like the whole Team Cat versus Team Dog thing that they showed, where, you know, you vote cat or dog, and then if your team wins over that weekend, then you all get, like, this one, you know, doodad that you need to upgrade your stats. So they seem to really be, I don't know, like, to me,
that's
it
ambitious.
Looks like they're going to do, they're doing a lot of ambitious stuff that you, that I guess I did not expect Nintendo to do right out of the gate with their first online shooter, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I guess with this game, it's kind of been the same story over and over again where, I mean, for me, I don't trust Nintendo to do this right, and they have not really been forthcoming with anything that would reassure me. So this demo didn't really go towards reassuring me of anything aside from the fact that they can make a competent mode in this shooter, in the third-person shooter. It doesn't say that this really will be worthwhile as a full-blown game to me necessarily. Like, the jury's still out on that for me.
Right. I highly recommend that you go check out the second half of the direct. I think you're going to like what you see.
I need to watch it myself too. I haven't caught up with it yet. I've been so busy. But I will agree with John in the sense that, you know, one of the consequences of Nintendo branching out and doing something new that they've never really attempted before is that they don't have a pedigree in this area. And if some of us sound skeptical about Splatoon, that is why. You know, when they've dabbled in this stuff in the past, it often hasn't gone well. And now that it seems that they're really throwing themselves into it all the way and they're really going to try to do this big and, you know, and treat this like a new franchise and something they're taking seriously. They're doing directs about it. Mm-hmm. They're doing a lot of marketing. There's amiibos. I mean, they're really pushing Splatoon. And
oh, yeah.
And I'm glad to see that. But at the same time, they're pushing Splatoon out into the great unknown. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not only do we not really know for sure if the audience is there for a game like this on their system, but also we just don't know if Nintendo is going to live up to our expectations of what this kind of game should be, because they're making a genre of game that already exists, basically. I mean, Splatoon has a lot of cool twists, but it is fundamentally, it's not a platformer, you know? This is not a rhythm game. I mean, it is a kind of game that basically a lot of other companies have made and Nintendo has not. And they're stepping out there and they're saying, look, we can do it just as well as any of you guys can. And I don't know if they can or not. I mean, they're not perfect. They've tried genres and failed, you know? Yeah, so I hope this isn't going to be one of them. But if we seem, again, I'm not pessimistic on the game. I'm just kind of skeptical right now because they just don't have a track record making this kind of thing. And there's a lot, it's a complicated kind of game to pull off. And there's a lot of ways it could go wrong. You know, even companies that have a lot of experience, look at that game Evolve from what came out in February. Like,
but that game
has been
kind of a train wreck from the day it was announced. Like, everyone was excited the day it was announced, but then the more details and the more people realized, oh crap, like, they're really trying to nickel and dime people, or at least that's the impression that they gave with their whole DLC plan. I don't know. Like,
but I mean, the game itself, though, was made by the same people that made Left 4 Dead. So
I know, and that's why I was interested initially, but then
it sold really well, but then it does. It just doesn't seem like anybody's playing it, and it's only been out for like 3 months at this time.
I mean,
so,
I played it. I didn't like it. I played the beta. I didn't like it.
Yeah, and so I mean, and that there's, you know, those people making that game are very experienced. So mm-hmm. It's a tricky thing to do well, and I'm really genuinely curious, and I am skeptical, but I'm also completely open to Nintendo proving themselves on Splatoon. Again, to me, the demo is such a tiny slice, and like John said, it doesn't really address the infrastructure questions. It doesn't really tell us, you know, whether you can use a classic controller to play online or...
I know that there's local multiplayer, and you'll be able to play with the classic controller.
Yeah, but I know that too, but can you play with it online? I don't know. I haven't done
like
the deep research, you know. But it's just one of those things. I pick it up and I try to use it, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I'm demo. Like,
so
what's up?
I mean,
I did exactly that. The first thing I picked up was my pro controller, and I was like, why is this not even syncing? What's the deal here?
Exactly,
because this is what I would naturally use.
It doesn't support the classic or the pro, and you know, so I'm still left in the dark, and it's just this demo is a fantastic opportunity to give a huge audience a great first impression of the game. And I thought in a lot of ways it was great. It was fun to play when I had a lot of connection issues, but those are potentially on my end because my internet was kind of wonky over the weekend. But
when I was playing it, it was fun.
But, I knew it was a very small piece of a much larger game.
Yeah. Right.
I'd played before, and it didn't really answer most of the questions that I have about it still.
No, I mean,
I'm very surprised I'm still kind of like the only one defending the game.
I haven't gotten to talk yet. So.
Well, that's the thing. Go ahead.
To me, there's nothing to defend. It's not a franchise in the game, and none of us have played the final game, and it's not a franchise.
Yeah.
So it's not something you can really be a fan of yet, you know?
No. I mean,
to defend. This thing is an ambiguous cloud
but
of possibilities.
You can
until
be
it
you
lands
guys
on our doorsteps.
Kind of liked what you played, but you were still skeptical. But I think that a lot of the skepticism is kind of stupid because you haven't seen the Nintendo Direct. Like, you're none informed about what's in the final game, and so you're like, well, I don't know, Nintendo hasn't really said anything, but you haven't been watching.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not necessarily skeptical about other modes. I'm also skeptical about stuff like how responsive are they going to be patching the game when somebody finds a glitch, when somebody finds something that's extremely overpowered. They have zero track record there. It's stuff like that. I mean, I know that they have
can
DLC
they handle
down the line
Friday and Saturday night coming server loads on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, how fast is the actual matchmaking, which the demo doesn't have at all? I mean, the demo throws you in with a group of literally random people based on ping or something. I don't know. There's a number up on the screen, you know, on
there
the
are
list
ranked
of people.
Battles.
I don't
I mean,
know what
how,
those
but
are.
How smart is the matchmaking going to be? Is it going to rank, is going to throw you in with people that are way more experienced?
Exactly.
And what happens when a player drops? Is your
how
match
do
you
find a
they,
group?
Like, they mention that there are basically 9 grades on the ladder, like from A plus to C minus, and I don't know. Like
nobody can fail.
no, but your points determine who you're going to be matched against in ranked battles.
Okay.
I don't know about the
okay.
the regular battles though.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like they can say that all they want because a lot of other you know shooters have said that too, and it's been a load of shit. So
yeah, I mean,
I can tell you that from experience that
I've never
Halo Master Chief Collection is a thing that is extremely fresh. Okay, like if Microsoft fucks it up with Halo, then Nintendo is not. There is no guarantee that Splatoon works.
I guess I don't have the experience of how wrong this kind of shooter can get.
It can go pretty far wrong
because it can go real bad.
Yeah,
and even if the game itself is super fun, it can still go really bad.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, but
and that happens too.
I mean, I'm not doom and gloom on Splatoon at all, but I'm waiting to see how it does because even the most hyped shooter can go out there and fall flat on its face. It can happen. It's happened with Halo Master Chief Collection, Destiny. I mean, all these games need a massive
patch. Outside of the initial connection, I did not have a problem, though. That really gave me confidence that they can handle it.
Yeah, I don't just mean like connection and like that kind of technical stuff. I mean, just overall community experience, all that
continued
kind of stuff.
Support. There's,
there's a lot of moving parts, but
community vibrancy is my biggest concern. Really, it's just how long is there going to be an active community where I can go play this game?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's impossible
to predict that.
It's such a central portion of this game, which is above all else you could say about a Nintendo product. This is unique in how central online is positioned inside of this product as its core value.
Yeah.
So the online community needs to be vibrant enough for you to actualize the value that you have invested into this game. The single player stuff is a nice to have. It needs to be there for the purpose of A, giving you an opportunity to learn the game in a non-competitive environment, and B, giving you additional value that you can do if, say, your internet isn't working. But ultimately,
I've heard it's kind of akin to the Titanfall campaign, which John, I don't know if you can speak to that, but it doesn't have a good reputation.
It's fine. It's there, but it's kind of just meant as a bonus thing. And frankly, it's just tied into the online anyways. I mean, really, it's just online with a couple more cutscenes.
Yeah. I mean, it's
Titanfall,
not,
I mean, it's not really single player, a campaign.
Right.
It's,
and that's,
you
that's
play
what
through
I,
the maps with a few more cutscenes at the end that actually have like a skeleton of a story.
Right. And that's kind of what I'm expecting here. And you know, it is exactly as you say, it is a nice to have, but the online needs to be not just working, but needs to be populated. I need to be able to go in there and get a match and go and have fun with it and feel like I'm actually playing with other people.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't trust that Nintendo can make a good game, obviously. We've been doing this show for 7 years at this point. Yes, I have a potentially undeserved sometime amount of faith in their capacity to produce this game. It is a question more of just the market dynamics of this game as a value proposition to me. And
wow,
a lot of
really
big words.
Stripped the fun out of that statement.
I didn't get all that.
I think it's going to do well because I've seen a lot of positive buzz since the demo. I see reviewers have their copies now and they've been playing and they've been saying a lot of things that I wanted to hear. And also, you know, like, we can mention failures like Titanfall did not really keep its community and stuff like that, but Titanfall, outside of the giant mechs, kind of looked like other shooters.
But it had a very, very solid pedigree and a very hard media push.
Yeah, but people don't necessarily care about pedigree when it comes to individual developers like that.
Well, they do with Respawn because they were the ones that made Modern Warfare. So
yeah, but no one knows that Respawn made Modern Warfare outside of people who actually read.
Yeah, they do, dude. They do.
No, I don't think so. Because people would have stopped.
But people totally care.
No, I did. No, I did know. I'm one of the people who knows. I think that the vast majority of people who are playing Call of Duty right now probably haven't noticed that the people who made Call of Duty what it is are gone.
Well, yeah, they may not probably. Care. Yeah,
they don't care. Yeah, exactly. But yeah.
That's a serious
But anyway, like I think that Splatoon stands out. You know, it's colorful. It's a Nintendo game, so it's got kind of this core fan base that's really, you know, passionate, mm-hmm. and people immediately know. I think that Nintendo has less problem. Like, it's not like this is not a team from Nintendo that changed its name and they call themselves Oda Nin or something, and now they're making this game and no one knows who they are. Like, this is a Nintendo game, so it's also backed by Nintendo marketing. When I went shopping this weekend, I saw this huge Splatoon ad plastered all across the Best Buy that I shopped at. And, it's colorful, stands out. It basically, like, what other shooter that is this appealing for all ages is there out there? Like, outside of maybe Plants vs. Zombies, I can't really think of any. So,
the character design will do it a lot of good.
I think so.
There's no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I certainly hope that you're right, Guillaume, that it's going to be really popular, because I think the more popular it is, the better the game experience will be for the people who are playing it. Yeah. So, well, I want it to be popular. I don't see any downside to it being popular. I mean, I hope it's really good, first of all. Mm-hmm. And then secondarily, I hope that it's very popular. Because that means that, you know, they can continue to develop the game and tweak it and make it better. And also potentially there's a sequel down the road or some kind of expansion to it. And, you know, that's exciting stuff. I mean, it's kind of new territory for Nintendo. So I would love for it to be really popular. I don't want people to think that I'm like doomsaying this game. Like, I'm predicting that it's going to be a giant failure. I don't know. And a lot of times when we talk about games that are coming out, I feel like I can kind of see where that's going, you know, I have a lay of the land, you know, I can kind of get a feel for, okay, well, this game's might be really good, but it's not a big deal in the market or whatever, or maybe this game is going to be popular regardless of what the reviews say because it's Assassin's Creed, whatever. And it just, in this case with Nintendo making Splatoon, I can't see the future at all on this one.
It's a grand experiment.
It's just it's a complete unknown to me. I don't understand it. I understand something about the genre absent of Nintendo.
Right.
That makes me mm-hmm. kind of concerned.
Game quality is not always the singular predictor of a game's success.
I don't think that it's going to chart all that well. Like, I don't think that it's going to sell boatloads. But I do think that the people who play it will play it a lot. It's just like, you know, there's not a ton of online games on the Wii U. So I think that people are, you know, basically going to go from Smash Brothers to this game and to Mario Kart and then back to this game.
Well, you know?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be up in the pantheon.
I was going to say, though, Wii U games, there are, for sure. You're right, there are not a ton of online-focused games on Wii U, but the question is, are there a ton of people who want to play online games on Wii U right now?
Well, I think, I don't know, I've never had trouble trying to find people to play Mario Kart with. So, I don't know, I guess that's my answer. Like, the people who play online do play
online. I mean,
Mario
Kart is also the best-selling game on the system.
That's true.
And it's massively
so
popular.
It's popular, that actually makes it better. You know, like, you can always find someone to play and you know, Splatoon hopefully will have that advantage, but it's no guarantee. And that will make a big difference in how much people are able to enjoy it. So, again, these are just things we don't know. And they're big questions. I think it's fascinating. Like, I'm really excited to see how all this plays out. I mean, I have no, you know, no stake in the game, really, except that I just hope it's a good game.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. ultimately, if the question is literally just, did you enjoy the demo? I mean, yes, I would ask you to consult my commentary on Splatoon, both during the videos we did at E3 last year and in our wrap-up commentary. You know, I enjoyed that game immensely. And ultimately, as Johnny said, I was having the same experience on Friday as I was having a year ago, except I didn't want to die. And that's the E3 experience. Thumbs up to my face.
E3, it makes you want to die.
It doesn't make you want to die because you lose the ability to want. it makes death feel like an inevitability.
Yeah.
I love E3 so much.
So
now in terms of actually the game itself, I mean, my impressions of it, you know, I mean, there was a lot of talk about kind of like what was overpowered and what wasn't overpowered. I felt that the splat roller.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like it was overpowered. Not itself was overpowered, but I felt that the other weapons around it couldn't really counteract it very well. And people
Agreed.
Said, well,
yes.
you know, you move slowly, so you can't, so people right. can hit you really easily. And while that's the case, once you put all of your paint out there and you can squid out and, you know, dive down and then come up behind people, the roller is mm-hmm. really hard to counteract because it's very hard. What I found is it's very hard to see people sneaking up behind you just because the camera is always looking forward over you. So a lot of times you can't see who's behind you. So.
Oh, yeah. Back kills are a huge part of this game.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, I was getting back kills. Once I figured that out, I was getting back kills all the time. So. Yeah.
I will say I did a match that was all rollers against no rollers and we won like 87%. I mean, it was annihilation.
Yeah, we did. Wow. I had one where it was three rollers and one splatter shot, and we won like 75-25, something like that.
Yeah.
Right. I think that could vary depending on the game mode and depending on the level.
And there's more weapons available too, correct?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yes. And different yes. types of rollers, different types of snipers, different types of regular guns.
They might have even like kind of selected the other settings specifically to make the roller feel powerful. To me, it felt kind of like the easy mode because you don't really have to aim. So, you know, even with the crappy motion control aiming on by default, which I think was a poor decision personally, or I think it should have come up
too.
With a really simple menu saying, do you want to use motion or not? I mean, just let people decide rather than make this, you know, whatever. But I mean, once I turned that off, I realized, I bet people are using the roller because it's the one weapon that they feel they can really control well because it's easier to use. You don't have to worry about where you're looking. You're basically just pointing the joystick in the direction you want to go and here, you know, off to the races.
Yeah, I had kind of the aiming never felt right to me. Motion control, I turned it off because it was terrible at first, but later on people were telling me on Twitter that they felt it was actually way more accurate, and I can see that from an aiming perspective, but moving the whole gamepad around to like just having the whole screen move around you just completely freaked me out.
Yeah.
I'm just not used to playing like that. And, and you know, like I was using this splat charger to try to snipe. I don't know. That's the thing. The third person shooter controls. I don't know. I feel like I want to go back and play Gears of War now to see, cause I can't remember how they controlled it, but it had controls that felt pretty nice camera wise. And I want to see how they did it. Because there's something different there. Like
so
for some reason,
it was the camera in Gears is a lot tighter though.
Yeah, I felt like the reticule didn't move as much. Is that right? Yeah, because I mean in Splatoon, I mean if you move to the left, it's going over to the right, and so it was always kind of off-putting. I felt like I could never really. I felt like in order to aim properly, I had to pretty much stop what I was doing and really focus on aiming, which kind of took me out of the experience a bit.
I felt the same. It was hard for me to run and gun the way that I do in a lot of other games.
And the way I want to in the game. I mean, I really want to like run around and, you know, splat people with paint. You know what I mean? Like I really want it to be quick and fast moving. I don't have to think about it.
Yeah, like,
the game was really designed so that you don't really move your reticle up and down at all. Like, I had initially this tendency to try to aim up to make the paint go further, and that it doesn't work that way. It's really just, like, aim in front of you, and if the person is in range, then you're gonna hit it. If not, then you're not. But, and meanwhile, while you're shooting, you're going to be spraying paint all over, not just where your reticle is, but like on the ground in front of your feet. So it's kind of tricky that way. You get used to it though.
But what about when the levels have a lot of verticality? Then you do have to go up and down a lot. And right. to me, the motion controls didn't feel comfortable for that level of looking around.
Right, right. Well, I disabled the motion controls as well. But
so you did too.
Yeah.
I left them on because I'm a man.
Now I did really like being able to spray paint on a wall and then go straight up the wall and like traverse mm-hmm. things that way. It was really, really cool because that's kind of something that other first person shooters, third person shooters, whatever, shooters period, have tried to kind of introduce as a new feature. And so it's a very interesting way of tackling it. You know, like wall jumping has been something mm-hmm. that was added to Titanfall. Advanced Warfare has it with the exosuits, stuff like that. So it was kind of, that's like a clever way to kind of introduce verticality to something, where like normally you wouldn't think it would be there.
Right.
Instead of just having a jump button.
Yeah, that's sort of been the trend in a lot of the shooters that have come out recently is to really try to make the world feel less like you're on a rail.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this a little bit when Guillaume was talking about GoldenEye in that it felt a lot like you're sort of locked into essentially you were playing a 2D game, but the dimensions are different than we normally think of 2D games. You were going side to side and forward and back versus
right.
up and down.
Right, and even worse, they would put enemies above you or below you, but you just couldn't aim at them.
So a lot of games have really – a lot of shooters have really tried to change that up and give you that third dimension in a real sense. So having the squid allows you to both play with the tempo of the game because you can move incredibly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It also adds in – stealth, which in this game, which is almost entirely about bat kills, is incredibly useful. But it does sort of change the structure of
life. Weren't bat kills kind of like a big thing in Halo 2 with the sword?
You can do that now, like in all the Halo games. You can sneak behind somebody.
A thing, right, that people like to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, but that's only because it's pretty hard to do. You have to time it right. And you really have to catch somebody off guard. But if mm-hmm. you do, they're done. They're done. It's one shot kill.
Yeah.
So
it feels like there is depth here potentially that I don't understand yet. That perhaps will make more sense as I play the game more organically. Instead of what I was trying to do, which is just like, I've got an hour, I'm going to jam this match and just go crazy.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and there's just a lot of depth that we couldn't access because there were these custom loadouts that were already prepared. But I've seen some of the stuff in the Direct is really interesting. We talk about stealth kills and back kills and stuff like that. There are items to make you more stealthy, like so that people don't see you at all when you're moving in goo, or don't even see you when you jump out of it as a squid. So that seems to give you a big advantage. But then there's gear that allows you to spot people more easily.
Hmm.
So all this, all these observations that we have, like the final game could play very differently,
Yeah.
We talk about back kills and like, oh, well, how do you prevent that? And then you realize, okay, in the full game, there are not only shields that completely shield you from any roller at all, but also there are, stuff that could tell you, like, okay, there's a dude right behind you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know this might be anathema to our Canadian members of the crew here, but I feel like some item that kind of puts a little halo around friend and foe out on the field, to make them stand out against the background of the splotchy colored ink would be a big difference. I think that would make it a lot easier. It would be a cheat, basically, but that's what we're talking about. All these items that give you little superpowers. I feel like that'd be a really useful one in this game because your characters kind of have built-in camouflage. Mm-hmm. And stealth is definitely the part of the game that stealth and also just the situational awareness, like being able to kind of discern how far away are the characters and where are they? Because the character art, the style there kind of plays into it. And I feel like that was definitely the one part of the game that I understood the least when I was playing it. Like people would sneak up on me and kill me in a way that I could not have foreseen. I was like, oh, wow, okay, they get the sliding around and the jumping off of, they kind of get it in a way that I don't yet. And that is fun because mm-hmm. it makes you think, hey, I want to kind of get to where I can do that kind of stuff too. And it seems like it's, basically part of the game that you should learn. I think there's a lot of reason to be very hopeful here. I do want to say that I had fun when I was able to play, when I wasn't having connecting problems. I thought it was really fun. And I also just wanted to mention that, I think it's really cool that Nintendo did this beta test. You know, we didn't really take a lot of time to talk about it last week. It was very fresh news and it hadn't happened yet. And we weren't quite sure how it was going to go.
Definitely not sure.
But it seemed to go well for almost everyone.
Yeah.
And a lot of positive chatter about the game. I mean, it's been a huge buzz builder for sure on Twitter and on our website. You know, the emails we're getting, it seems like people are really excited about it. And that people really enjoyed the demo. And I just think this is such a good thing for Nintendo to do. I mean, you know, the tricky thing about releasing a demo is you have to release a good demo. Because if you release a bad demo, you will screw yourself really badly. And in this case, it seems like they released a very good demo and they got a ton of people interested. There was already a lot of curiosity, but not that many people had been able to play the game. It's only been at E3 and PAX, basically. Yeah. So a very small number of people have been generating a pretty large amount of buzz for this game over the past year or so. And this was the first chance for almost everyone to really get a chance to try it. And, you know, by and large, it seems very positive. And I really hope Nintendo is kind of seeing the power that they have here to do like more creative things. And, you know, having a beta test for your shooter is like not a new concept, you know, but
no,
it's new for Nintendo. And it's exciting to see that it seems to have worked out. I mean, number one, that they did a great job with it. Number two, it seems people are responding really well to it. And I'm excited for that feedback loop. And, you know, maybe this is kind of the dawn of a new age of Nintendo, like trying these kind of more modern ideas and saying, yeah, you know, we could do that too. I mean, we can make that part of what Nintendo does. We can have online beta tests of our third-person shooters. That can be part of what Nintendo is.
Now they just need to get voice chat.
That's exciting to me.
They need to get voice chat and they need to get Twitch streaming sorted out. Get those two things and they'll be golden.
Yeah, that would, I mean,
I will say
it'd be 100% competitive with everything out there.
Yep. I will say one thing they did, how they set up their beta differently than how most people do it. When they did the hour event, they created most optimal conditions for this game. They made sure that you will always have a full match because they turned every play session into an event, a tiny window that everybody tried to squeeze their way through, to the point where Guillaume saw the same message I did. The Nintendo network server simply could not accept more connections. Like they were just done. They could not let you in.
They turned that thing off on the minute, too.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. If you were in a match, you got to finish the match, and then you were out.
Yeah, for me, it was like 1 p.m. Pacific, period, done. You're out of there, cannot connect.
Yeah. So they turned it into an event, which sort of allows the hype to – basically, they made it so Twitter got flooded all at one time. They made it so people got on, and you got full matches all at once. So the entire time you were playing was a full match, and they made it so you only got to play enough that you walked away thinking, man, I want to play more of that. Like they executed a beta test, they executed a beta test hand in hand with a well executed promotional event.
Yeah.
So they sort of got the whole thing to work for them, and they also got to flood their servers in a way that you wouldn't get under normal beta test conditions either. They got to say, all right, this is probably the most that will ever be connected to a game of Splatoon. Let's see what that looks like.
The times were good as well. You know, they just
On the East Coast, they were a little bit meh. Because our most optimal time was like the middle of the afternoon on a Saturday when you're probably out doing stuff.
Yeah.
And our night one was like at 11, and then the other one was like 4 in the morning or something stupid like that.
It was like 7.
Saturday. It might as well be 2 in the morning.
If you really wanted to play, I think most people had an opportunity no matter where they are.
I would just say of all the time zones, that was probably one of the ones that got hit harder in terms of just availability. But I mean, that's the most that that Nintendo will ever see people playing Splatoon at one time is that demo, because A, it was free, and B, it was an event. Mm-hmm. So that they now know, all right, this is the most our servers are ever going to have to deal with.
Yeah, it's a true stress test.
We are set.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was just a really well done. I don't think I've ever seen anybody kind of create that artificial,
Well, it's been done in Japan, I think, with Dark Souls 2. Had one of those, I believe.
Yeah,
and maybe Bloodborne. They've done these kind of like extremely time limited online beta test just to test out a few features. And they're always at like weird times. And, you know, you've got like a 2-hour window and then you're done. And if you're a hardcore fan of the series, people like do it in the middle of the morning, you know, or whatever. But it becomes basically like this free demo tease for all the fans who are willing to, you know, go play this potentially like very buggy thing.
Yeah.
So it's not, I mean, but it's still pretty innovative, you know, for sure. And, and I think Nintendo's probably done the marketing side of it better, especially it was a global event and they did this in every region. And so that I believe is probably the first time that's ever
happened. A match where I was the only non-Japanese person in it. Like I saw the names and it was just
happened to me too.
Japanese name. And that match was butter. I mean, it was flawless in how it felt. Like I had no latency. I mean, they could be doing a really good job hiding the latency, which if they are, as long as it doesn't make me feel like I was getting screwed, whatever. But it didn't feel that way. So, I mean, they really couldn't have done too much better given what they were getting hit with.
It also almost made me thankful that there was no voice chat because, you know, you're the lone Westerner.
That is interesting, like how you would do voice chat in a game where...
Well, you could have it and then just turn it off.
Am
I crazy?
That's not my point. My point is,
I think
is,
in that situation, I think Japanese online players typically do not like to voice chat with other people,
or maybe just disable it in a demo. Am I crazy? Am I the only one here? It's crazy. Apparently,
yes. Well, John, yes, you are crazy. You did it now playing rap chat. Last week. You did it now playing rap last week, John. Yes, you are crazy.
Well, you know, and I would have been able to rap over online in Splatoon.
That's why we don't have voice chat. That is why we don't have it.
That's why I call him the silky shooter.
John, muting you was not enough. I would need to have hit you. Just with a car, probably.
Well, guys, Splatoon is coming out pretty soon. And I'm sure, I mean, Guillaume's getting it for sure. What do you think right now, having, you know, done the beta? What do you think, James and John?
I'm going to wait to see what the reception is after August when they add all the features in.
That's when
they're going to add a lot of other stuff in there. So I'm definitely going to wait. I'm going to kind of be tracking it. Like I'm going to wait for the reviews and see kind of what they think generally.
You consider it to be released incomplete. Like you wouldn't really, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
it
doesn't have
really
all the modes
want
in
it
there.
Until
I mean,
they add everything else that.
Yeah. And I also want to see, you know, that's the thing with first person shooters. I never really necessarily buy reviews at launch because the story is never really at launch. The story is like
six months afterwards.
Did the server start shitting the bed? You know,
we had no problems playing SimCity on our reviewer only network.
Yeah, it's like, is there a glitch that lets you, you know, that makes matches completely, you know, wonky because, you know, people can, you know, cheat. Stuff like that. Like, that's like exploits and stuff like that.
The Conduit had a lot of problems with that.
Most first
remember
person
that?
Most
well, no, the
do,
Conduit
yeah.
had problems thinking we were cheating and kicking us all out.
I mean, I remember playing the Conduit and seeing people actually who had, like, hacked the game. And they were doing crazy stuff.
I want that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Like that's
and they didn't really have the capability to fix it until Conduit 2. And by then, nobody was playing it. But anyway, my point is, there will be more time to talk about Splatoon. We've given it a lot of attention here, but I think it was well worth it. And I'd love to hear what our listeners thought about the beta demo. We've heard from, you know, a few of you already, even though it only happened over the weekend. But yeah, you know, I'd love to hear what you all think. Do you think we're crazy? I mean, we're all over the place. So, you know, you can join whatever side you want or you know, just tell us what you think of Splatoon. I think it's one of the most interesting things that has happened with Nintendo in quite a while. It's really refreshing, a little scary, you know, as a fan. But I'm really truly excited about it, and I'm really curious to see how it all goes. I think it's going to be, you know, one of the best stories of the year, at least, just in the whole arc, the rise and fall of this thing. I don't know. I don't want to like overhype it or over dramatize it, but Splatoon, it seems like a big deal for Nintendo. And, you know, this is maybe a hint of what's to come from them. So
I want to apologize for calling your concerns stupid, by the way.
There's no take backs in RFN.
I do doubt your commitment to sparkle motion, though.
As you should.
Well, hold on. Wait. I'm a poser. If we're gonna talk about predictions here.
I fucking nailed it.
I'm gonna take it's costumes, but I'm gonna take credit for it because you still look like a freaking inkling. I'm done. We're never doing predictions again, by the way. So we're finished.
You're a bitter man, James.
No, I'm not bitter. I'm the winner. So there's nothing to be bitter about. I predicted promotional Splatoon DLC.
I'm the winner.
DLC for Smash Brothers, and I got it. There's nothing to be bitter about.
I'm the winner.
I am the winner, John. Did you predict that? You didn't, did you?
Guess all right. I'm the loser.
Let's move on.
I agree, James, John.
You can just add the check mark on your spreadsheet where you're tracking the success criteria of all your 2015 predictions.
I have them tattooed on my body.
Tattooed.
The ladies dig
it. In case you get mementoed,
yeah,
you won't lose your progress on your life achievements. All right, well, yes.
Don't believe his lies.
We're actually gonna let's just cut off new business right there. I think Splatoon is plenty of new business for the short period of time since our last episode. So we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we've got your listener mail thunder round.
Hey everybody, this is Now Playing, a review of this week's content on NintendoWorldReport.com. I am your host, John Lindemann. James Jones could not make it this week as he is out gallivanting around the country as he tends to do. And with that, let's jump right into this week's list. First up, we have a review of Attack on Titan, Humanity in Chains for Nintendo 3DS by Donald Thoreau. Hey, so you like anime? You like big monsters? Well, you might like Attack on Titan. But you might also want to read Donald's review before digging into this one. Donald may be quote-unquote awesome like Ronald McDonald, but find out if the same applies to this game. We also have a preview of Splatoon's single-player campaign by Don Koopman. Lord knows we're all wondering what the deal is with Splatoon's single-player campaign. Well, Don is here to set the record straight with a report based on the retail version of the game. As far as I'm concerned, if it's not as good as The Conduit, no sale. Keeping on the Splatoon theme, we also have a preview by Neil Ronahan, One Night Online with Splatoon. While the title sounds kinky, Neil's preview of Splatoon's online is inky. I probably should have thought better of that. Sorry, I had to get at least one pun in there. Find out how Neil likes the online play with the retail version of Splatoon and what he sees as its strengths and weaknesses. And lastly, but not least this week, we have an editorial, Nintendo and the Post-Release Patch by Scott Thompson. My bald brother Scott gives us his opinion on something that Nintendo is embracing a lot more lately, the Post-Release Patch. Is this good? Is this bad? Does Scott's beard have magical powers? All this and more is revealed and answered in this blisteringly truthful opinion piece. Lots of truths unveiled there by Scott Thompson, as usual. And that wraps it up for this week. That's all the content that you will want to check out. All this and more is available on NintendoWorldReport.com.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. It is time for the Listener Mail Thunder Round. As always, the address is rfn@NintendoWorldReport.com, and we're going to get through these emails as fast as we possibly can. Thank you, everyone, for writing. James, could you please read the first email?
Brad writes, "It looks more and more like a Punch-Out title is headed to either Wii U or 3DS. Perhaps a deep look at the rest of the Smash character roster gives us some other clues. Maybe something with Rob? Second, a friend lent me his Vita, and I'm pretty amazed at the kit. Why is it that the strongest system technically is often the loser in the race? Is it just a matter of cost? If a 3DS had a screen on par with the Vita, I'd lose my friggin' mind."
Costs.
Yes.
Costs. Yeah, it cost PS3 money to make a Vita game.
Yeah, cost, and I would also say that because Vita has better components, you would probably never give it to a kid, which is one of the primary audiences for the 3DS and Nintendo's handhelds in general. They're just more sturdy and more suited to being a handheld.
Well, and I would also say Sony has never figured out how to run an advertising campaign for a handheld system.
Like no.
They just don't get it. I mean, you can push it all the way back to All I Want for Xmas is a PSP website. I mean, they just don't fucking get it. And it's unbelievable how bad they don't get
it. It's like they think that they can just like throw it in stores and people will come running for it. Well, even though, I mean, don't even get me started on having no games for it, really.
Well, and to that point, the Vita's launch ad campaign was, look, it's the same games you're playing on your PS3. It's like, well,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Well, let's not rehash all that. But yeah, I mean, 3DS, it's 3DS is expensive for its own reasons, right? I mean, that system was priced like out of control at first. It was still cheaper, I think, than Vita when Vita launched.
It had price dropped, I believe, and that was why it was cheap. I think Vita launched.
Yeah, but I mean, the original 3DS was cheaper.
Also, the fact that Vita games don't really offer an experience that's anything different from console games, so it's kind of hard to justify that extra cost.
You had to buy the separate memory card.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple problems. I guess it's not just cost. There's multiple problems.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
Sony is the problem.
By the way, that was done to keep the price down because the cost of the memory and developing that format and everything is on top of what you're paying for the Vita in the first place. So. Right. It comes down to cost. I mean, we were talking about like mass produced consumer electronics, or people are very, very price conscious on things like this. And if you want to sell a whole bunch of them, then you better make sure you're not losing a shitload of money on every unit. And Nintendo is, they understand this better than almost anybody. They're not perfect. I mean, they screwed up with the 3DS price right off the bat.
Yep. They did.
I bet if they had to do it over again, they would tweak a few things, but I think it mostly went the way they wanted it to after they righted the ship. It's gone, 3DS has done extremely well for them, and it's basically, it's the best thing going on in the company right now, and not for that much longer, probably. But hey, Nintendo knows what they're doing, and if and when Nintendo makes another handheld, whether that is NX or something else, I think it'll be really good. I mean, they basically make the best. I like Vita a lot, but hardware included, all around, the 3DS is a way better thing to own. If you can only own one or the other, there's not even a contest, okay? The 3DS is a way, way better platform than the Vita. And that's because
unless you like really obscure Japanese games.
No. Really obscure
Japanese. Those are still
Japanese,
on 3DS.
Really obscure Japanese games that really push an M rating. That's if you want Vita.
Yeah.
Actually, the thing that Vita has the most is Western indie games.
True.
Yeah, and some of those are really great, but also you can find them on every other platform. Like, they're not special to Vita. They're fun. It's a fun way to use your Vita if you already have one, because it's like, hey, it kind of gives me an excuse to try more of this experimental stuff when I'm, like, sitting on the toilet. But it's not the reason to go out and buy a Vita so you can play all the hottest Steam games from last year,
Monster Hunter clones. They've got lots of those.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's see. So, Smash. Smash character.
The punch out was the tweet Nintendo sent out of Reggie in the in the robe, the boxing robe, in the gym working out, and they were basically making a "my body is ready" joke for E3 announcements.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There is a strong potential here for Nintendo fans to read way the hell too into this. Let me rephrase that. Well, you are reading way the hell too into this.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't take it as a punch out hint personally, but
I absolutely do, because Next Level Games is exactly on track to show a new game at this E3.
Yeah.
The last game was Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon like 3 years
wasn't
ago.
Wasn't one of our predictions along these lines?
Yeah, exactly. And they made Punch Out for Wii, which was just re-released on the Wii U, and now he's in Smash Brothers, and it makes perfect sense for those guys to be working on a Punch Out game, or maybe something like a little bit broader, but that incorporates Punch Out in some way. Maybe it's Little Mac taking up MMA or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and they did make the choice to dress him up like that. That was a deliberate choice.
Sure, but
certainly
if you're going to have him working out, he's either going to be that or Wii Fit Trainer, and I don't want to see that.
So
Reggie's not a fit man. I don't need that in a leotard.
By the way, Little Mac MMA game, Choke Out?
No, that's absolutely not. You're instantly getting an M rating just for the name.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's an MMA game. Obviously,
ESRB
Floyd
has now
Mayweather's
just sent
punch
you a
out.
Strongly
Look
worded letter.
Look up Floyd Mayweather's punch out. Look that up. It's hilarious. Watch it.
God.
Seriously, it's really funny.
Mike Tyson's choke out.
Is it out of the question? No, obviously it isn't. But
well, I mean, a Rob game is out of the question.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry,
yes.
Brad. A Rob game is out of the question.
My recently advocated for Duck Hunt Dog game is more likely than that.
Even even that, I'm going to say,
meh. No, it's obviously not going to happen, but it's more likely great than, if the, more likely great, than a Rob game, certainly.
Yes, I agree.
So, I mean, I would, if there is a Punch-Out game, that's awesome. But I would say right now, for the most part, just take that as them making a couple of some semi-deep cut jokes about them. Keep in mind, that tweet was an announcement for an announcement for their announcements. Like, just don't read too much into it, please.
All right. Bally from London writes, if we don't see Metroid, F-Zero, or even Advance Wars at this year's E3, does it mean that these series are all but dead?
No!
Series are never dead.
No. I mean, Kid Icarus, for fuck's sake!
I mean, they brought back Rock Band and Guitar Hero. Series are never dead.
The same year they brought them back, John. Think about
yeah.
that.
Yep.
I mean, has it been...
These series are never dead. That's exactly the right answer. Although F-Zero is the most dead, just because it's been dormant for the longest. But mm-hmm. will Nintendo mm-hmm. bring back F-Zero one it's day? Been... Of course. Of
yeah,
course
well,
they
hasn't,
will.
It hasn't had a game in the series proper, but there have been... It's not like Nintendo pretends that it doesn't exist. Like, it True. Was a Nintendo yeah. land in some capacity.
Yep. I mean, so, and Advance Wars, the last game came out in 08. So it's not super long ago. And it's mm-hmm. it's one generation ago on both platforms. Remember, they made the Bui spinoff?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not dead, but it's... what happened really was more they went on a run. I mean, they went and put out a run of those games from 1998 to like 2008. They dumped yeah. like seven of them.
They kind of tend to do that.
Yeah, but but before that, it was like 91 to 97 was the last Wars game. I mean, there was a big window there.
They seem to just latch on to, you know, a certain game franchise and then run it into the ground and then just drop it for like a decade.
They put out a Super Nintendo Famicom Wars game in 1998, almost day and date with the Game Boy Famicom Wars. It's like, the fuck were they doing?
that's really funny. Wow.
Metroid had this hiatus between Super Metroid and Metroid Prime. It was, what, 7 or 8 years?
Yeah, something like that.
It skipped the N64, and people kind of thought, oh, okay, Metroid is gone. But it came back.
We were terrified that Metroid was gone. It was not a happy situation. I mean, people were basically going insane. It was like Star Wars levels of, hey... Are you seriously gonna? Yeah, and
but then Nintendo came out with a GBA game, a portable game, and a GameCube game almost at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. They brought it back in a huge way, and they kept it going for years. And you know, the reason that some of us like predict Metroid every year for E3 is completely out of selfish habit, because we just want to see a Metroid game at every E3. And every year that I don't hear about the next Metroid game is a year that I'm not playing the next Metroid game. So that's why.
Well, and
that series is not dead.
No,
absolutely.
Like I said, I mean, Kid Icarus. Ultimately, that was what 20-something year hiatus. I mean, that game's it should have stayed dead. But ultimately,
oh wow!
Ultimately, it came back for some fucking reason. And I mean, there's no such thing as dead as long as Nintendo still exists, because they could deep cut. I mean, they made a Nintendo Land reference to Takamaru's Ninja Castle, a game that only came out on the Famicom in Japan. Nothing is dead.
Yeah, never count on it. All right,
I think John has to read this next one.
Okay, he was.
Bryant writes. I don't know where you're going with that, Johnny, but anyways, Bryant writes, short and sweet, why in the year 2015 do I have to set my Wii U and 3DS clock like a VCR? Why can't it automatically be set through the internet like the other guys? Seriously? Why is this? Are you saying that I'm so old that I don't know how to set a VCR, Johnny?
Saying you're the only one of us really qualified to set a VCR.
Oh, okay. So, all right, I'll take that as a backhanded compliment. Maybe
it's just straight up your old joke. It's just, mm-hmm.
it's just an old joke, John.
Yeah,
it's
no one else knows what a VCR. No one else knows what a VCR is. Whatever.
Why?
Jackasses.
Why doesn't Nintendo just auto set the clock through the internet?
I don't know. I mean, mine's been wrong for like half a year. I just don't fucking care at this point.
Yeah, I guess it's probably because they don't have to, and they don't want to assume that you have an internet connection.
Maybe they want to allow people to cheat at Animal Crossing.
There you go.
Like they just don't want to take that freedom away from people.
I don't know. It's America.
It's America. Yes, John, it's America. In America, it's when
I don't need no socialists set my internet time. I don't need to rely on no internet to set my time.
In America, it's whatever time you want it to be, John. That's freedom. That's what freedom means to me.
That's what freedom means.
It is 25 o'clock. That's what freedom means to me.
Why? Because it's America.
Yeah, is there a serious answer to this? I don't know. I mean, it's ridiculous.
The answer is they just haven't done it, and it's dumb. And they
it's some
it.
Like Seinfeld yeah. trivial bullshit, but yeah, it doesn't really matter. All right, so the next email comes from our friend Panderadox, who needs to turn on items in Smash Brothers, and Panderadox writes, scenario, you get to reboot Pokemon. Two questions. Number one, where in the Pokedex do you trim it back to? Oh, you presume so much, Panderadox. And number two, what new mechanics do you keep? Now, John, are you more of a Kanto or a what are the damn Pokemon words?
Kanto, Johto.
Your Johto falls apart under your own ignorance, Johnny.
I mean, I'm right there with you. Like, yeah. I know Pokemon.
Your Johto has collapsed upon itself.
It just cracked me up. It's like, you know, what prehistoric period would you date this fossil?
I stop it at 233 because at 233 is where they introduced me. I don't fucking know that shit.
So John,
I'm gonna ask Kevin, Becky, and Josh Matz.
I'm gonna save Johnny's attempt at a joke. John, are you a Kanto, Johto, Hoenn, or a Sinnoh, Unova, or Kalos region kind of guy?
Hey, ooh. You know, I'm more of a Jigglypuff guy myself.
Aren't we all? Just, I'd rather
so
be Jiggly. I'd
show off James.
Rather be Jiggly as they say. Yep. The number of Pokemon doesn't really matter to me. If I was going to reset the game though, I would make it so I don't have to have seven fucking games to get them all. Like, just step away from it for a little while and say, okay, there's still like 1,000 Pokemon in this game. Maybe you need to have both versions that you can trade through the internet. But we're resetting it now, so you don't have to go back to a DS one that you've moved through a 3DS cart onto this thing. Mm-hmm. Or a GBA cart that you've moved to a DS that you've moved to
or
a 3DS.
Or now they all live in the cloud, in the bank, the Pokemon bank.
But you have to get it onto a 3DS game to use Pokemon Bank. So there are some Pokemon you have to have a GBA cart that you've passed all the way through to your 3DS. It's insane! God. So reset it in such a way that there's two versions of this game. It has everything. And then just say, go back to Johto region where you said, okay, you can explore the whole... Apparently in the Pokemon world, they keep discovering continents. That's just what just happens.
Yeah.
So just say, okay, all the continents are here. Go nuts. It's a huge game. I get that.
It's Bronze Age.
We're charging you $60 for it. It's a huge game. You're going to pay it. They sold 3.5 million copies of the remake of Ruby and Sapphire. They can do that. They can say this game is now $60. Deal with it.
I feel like really it's not a matter of trimming back to any particular age or any number in the Pokedex or anything like that. I think you should just start over completely and make, I would say actually focus on a relatively small number of monsters, something more like the number of characters in a Final Fantasy game. You know, like Final Fantasy VI has, I think, 13 or 14 playable characters. That's a lot. Okay, but compared to Pokemon, it's nothing. But it's still enough to get a lot of variety in your cast of characters.
There's like 14 you can spend Pokemon types now.
Can spend a lot more time with them and develop them, and you can, you know, make crazy animations for each one of them and give them so much personality and like actually create story scenes and dialogue scenes that involve the specific Pokemon that they know you're going to have and actually like make them involved in the story in a way that none of the current Pokemon RPGs really can do.
Johnny, what it sounds to me like you need another fucking Pokemon spinoff. And let me tell you, there's a company called Genus Sonority. And they've got some experience making some Pokemon spinoffs.
I wouldn't spin it off. I would make this like the Pokemon.
I don't.
This would
I
be
don't.
My gritty reboot. You know, like all the Pokemon died, and
so,
then
so basically
we found
this
these
is,
other ones, and we just started over.
You're making Pokemon Zero essentially, is what you're doing.
Pokemon Olympic.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Jesus. I liked. I will say in Gold and Silver, I really liked the fact there were two continents, and once you finished up. You got to go from being, you know, the North American champion to the Intercontinental champion. You can have hold both belts. Like, there's something about that was kind of like, you felt like you got way more game than you actually did. Because the second region didn't really have that much in it. It was just town. It was like town, dojo, town, dojo, town, dojo. There wasn't a bunch of story stuff there. It was all post-game. Mm-hmm. but you still felt like you were getting another experience.
So I'll tell you where they got that idea from, I think, is Dragon Quest III, which is – or no, is it 2? It's one of them – it's 3 where you actually go back to the original world of the first Dragon Quest.
Yeah.
It's like this crazy post-game bonus area where you like go underground or something, and I don't remember exactly how it all works out, but you end up in the world of – the first Dragon Quest game, and you realize how tiny it is, and you're kind of running through a lot of similar tasks, but like very accelerated. And it makes you, you know, like it gives you such a appreciation for the greater scale of the new game that you've been playing.
The one thing that I would like to see, and I don't remember if it's been in the previous ones, is there was that weird tunneling mini game that was in Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah, I love that thing, actually.
That thing was goofy, and especially in the online mode, because you'd like go to somebody's place and just steal gems and just find Pokemon underground. Like, it was a... Now, it was funny that that game launched almost day and date with Fossil Fighters, which is a game about that exclusively. Good job, Nintendo.
Yeah, but I wasted a lot of time on that dumb fossil mini game in Diamond and Pearl.
The only Pokemon game I've played, Fire Red, the one thing that I would like to see improved, if they haven't already, is the whole give one Pokemon all the abilities to navigate the map. Has that been fixed?
I think some games have had less HMs than others. So it had gotten to like HM 12 or something stupid.
It's still an issue in the 3DS ones.
But HMs are
also... It's not as bad, but it's still dumb.
And they're so TMs are reusable now too. So you can like... You can trick out your Pokemon my phone just restarted for some reason. Sorry. You can re-trick out your Pokemon after you HM slave them if you don't want them anymore.
A lot of it would be solved by just making the HM temporary. Like, let you remove it whenever you want. I don't understand why they haven't done that.
Yeah, the only... you have to go to, like, find the move for Getter or something to do it. And it's just like, there's just one random dude in the entire world who knows how to make a Pokemon forget an HM.
So fix that, and I'll play another Pokemon game.
There you go. All right. Who wants to read the last email?
What the fuck's a Thunder Round? Sorry, wait, wrong email. Chris writes... I have a question in regards to ethics in video gaming. When I updated my 3DS XL to the not-so-stupidly named new 3DS XL, I chose to trade in my old system for credit towards the new system. I chose not to trade in my old system for credit towards the new system. Instead, I decided to utilize my old system as a sort of street pass bot, if you will, where I have the Mii in a lime green shirt with the birthday of February 29th. People have told me that utilizing the 3DS in this way is cheating. What do you guys think about this?
I could not care less.
Cares? Yeah, I could not care less either. Seeing as you paid cash money for the other 3DS, you should be able to whore it up as much as you want.
I mean, during PAX, we had people who were switching to... Because there was like a... In the original Street Pass quest, it was like you had to have a white shirt and nobody was using the white shirt. So we had people switch over to the white shirts just to be good Samaritans.
So what's the deal with the lime green shirt and the birthday of the 29th?
When they had the... They added on the pay for birthdays, it's the anti-birthday.
Right. This is the update, right?
Yeah. So you're never going to find somebody who has a birthday of February 29th. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Well, I mean, it could happen. What you mean is it's incredibly unlikely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Well, someone in my position will literally never meet someone with a February 29th birthday unless they've just jobbed it, because I get so few street passes anyway. Mm-hmm. So he's basically just done that. I assume the lime green shirt is another street pass quest.
I think that's a find me.
A find me thing.
It gives you a certain kind of magic.
Yeah. So it's just something that people do to juice the game.
Chris,
it's just a little white lie you're telling to your new 3DS.
If it's fun when you play it like that, then knock yourself out.
Do it.
I mean, you're not hurting anybody, so who cares?
Nope.
It's kind of hilarious. I want to pause for a second and ask, who the fuck are the people that are reprimanding you for how you street pass?
Exactly. Who's telling you you're cheating?
Those are not your friends, bro. Chris, let's have a moment to moment here. Go punch the shit out of those guys. What the fuck?
They're just jealous, They're haters. The street
people
pass
have
haters.
Told me that utilizing it in this way is cheating.
Be the bigger man / woman. Beat the crap out of those people.
Yeah,
That's how you be bigger than someone else.
I'm not one to advocate violence, but I mean, these people, you need to at least sit them down and say, hey, this stuff really isn't that important.
Just probably set phasers to ignore.
Yeah.
Then hit them.
All right.
That was
James
fun.
James is not a role model.
I am the only role model.
Back to this, are we? All right. Well, on that note, let's wrap it up, guys. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I know it was a short episode. We appreciate your patience with us. We'll have a full-length episode hopefully next week, and we will have some special guests, or at least one, by that time, because James really is going out of town, and we're going to miss him. But again, as soon as he gets back, only two episodes until we do our Twilight Princess retroactive. God. So again, if you're playing along, keep going. You've got a long way to go. And we look forward to talking to you next week right here on Radio Free Nintendo.
Later.
Bye.
Talk shit, get hit.